Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and hoping that everybody who is celebrating here in the United States enjoyed their 4th of July. Thanks so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, before we get started with our show, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible. Markham Search. Markham Search LLC offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States and recently launched a payrolling service to help a lot of employers dealing with the new I-9 identification rules that have come out, particularly in California and other parts of the United States, that how we classify people as employees can have a strong impact. So if you need a payrolling service, please do keep Markham Search in mind for all of your payrolling needs. Today we have with us on the show, Rhonda Morey. With over 20 years of experience working in marketing and business development capacities, Rhonda is viewed as a truly holistic marketing practitioner. Having an expertise in strategic marketing, public relations, digital and traditional advertising, and special events, she has worked with or for some of the world's most recognized brands, including Universal Studios, Subway Restaurants, Nike Golf, the PGA of America, and the PGA Tour. Morey has also worked with several high-profile individuals, including PGA great Tiger Woods, tennis legend Billie Jean King, NFL Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, MLB Hall of Famer Randy Johnson, and New York Times bestselling author Robert Kiyosaki, and even our current president, Donald Trump. Over the course of her professional career, Morey's work and viewpoints have garnered media attention as she has been interviewed by The Washington Post, AdobeCMO.com, The Business Journal, PBS, USA Today, and several other media outlets. Thanks so much for joining us today, Rhonda.
Thank you. Thanks so much for asking me to be a guest on your pod show.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your career. How was it that you wound up becoming an expert in marketing and getting to work with some great legends of our time?
You know what? I have to say that I've been really fortunate in terms of some of it is luck, you know, being in the right place at the right time. And then some of it is just hard work and dedication. But I have, as you noted and read in my bio, I've worked with some pretty high profile brands and high profile personalities and just learned a lot about marketing and business development and all of those areas that come into play when you're building a business.
That's amazing. And I know one of the things that you created is this Elevate for Her, a professional development organization. So tell me, how did you come to create Elevate for Her and how does that tie into the work that you've been doing?
Yeah, no, it's been a somewhat of a natural progression, I think. And when I say that, people often look at me and say, okay, I don't understand what you're talking about. But for many years, I was the only woman in the boardroom or seated at the table. And many of those times it was also the only person of color there too. So I always felt like I had to work harder and smarter. And I just always felt like it was important for me to prove myself beyond those counterparts that I was working with. So whether I was with working on the Nike Golf program or working on a project for the PGA Tour or Universal, I worked incredibly hard. But at a certain point in my career, I realized, hey, I need something more. I need my work to have meaning or to have a greater purpose. And that's when I decided and kind of the light bulb went on and I thought, okay, I can help other women and I can help other underrepresented groups through my work with the Elevate for Her. And Elevate for Her is a professional development organization where we do training programs in areas that women quite often are fall behind our male counterparts. So whether it's being an effective negotiator or an assertive leader or manager, our programs are really designed to help women feel much more empowered through not only the securing greater information on those skill sets, but also inspiring them with the confidence that they need to be effective leaders and be effective negotiators and so forth. So it was one of those full circle. I felt like I could utilize some of those skills that I had developed over those 20 plus years working in a marketing capacity, but putting it into a format where I could feel like, yes, I'm making a difference and I'm working on something that will help many, many women.
Yeah, I think it's obviously a very hot topic with all of the things that have gone on in the women's movement over the last several years in particular. But it's astounding to me that still in today's day and age, I think it was in California in 2018, they had the Equal Wage and Pay Act that was designed specifically to help women and minorities get equal pay. And I think the statistic, I could be a couple cents off on this, was that women and minorities were maybe making 78 cents on the dollar comparatively to white men. And it's not a slight against one or another. It's just something that's a fact that why is it that this is happening? And what is stopping somebody who might be a minority or somebody who's a woman, from being able to have access to making the same amount of money? So what are your thoughts on that? What do you think is stopping women and minorities from being able to reach the same level at the same rate? It's not to say, we're not saying that all women and all minorities are at lower rates, but we're saying there's a high enough amount of women and minorities that are at a lower rate that it should still cause us to pause and have a little bit of concern over it.
Well, yeah, and you're absolutely right. I always say that women and everything about women is in the white hot spotlight, just like yesterday's result with the soccer, where it's, the women, I think it was $13,000 per game, or there was a huge discrepancy between how much the men on the men's team make and how much the women make in their respective games. But I think part of it is because it's always been that way. So employers felt like, yeah, we can pay, and the figure that I always use is 80 cents on the dollar for women, and then it's quite lower for women of color. But if we say 80 cents to the dollar, it's unacceptable. And women in the past, we haven't really stood up and said, hey, this is no longer acceptable. And I think that's where we're finally getting today. But one of the things that I can share is I think it's great that there is such exposure to this issue, but I also encourage women to get prepared. So when it comes to negotiating, do you know how to effectively negotiate your salary? There's a stat that Forbes has in their publication that says women initiate negotiations four times less frequently than our male counterparts. So when you really take a step back, take a look at that stat and think about the implications, you really have to say, okay, I understand why we're making 80 cents to the dollar. So we're not asking for the raises. We're not asking for the promotions. We're not asking for the board seats. We're not asking for those in leadership to be our mentors. So when we are so far behind men, and that's based on our own self-confidence and our own mistake that women, and again, just looking at research and data points, many women don't want to be perceived as being greedy or being power hungry or any of the negative things that we know are said about women, but not said about men in a similar situation. But it's about jumping over those hurdles. And some of those are hurdles just within our own mind based on how we were raised as little girls. But once we make that leap and realize, hey, you know what, it is okay. And it's only right that I make as much as Bob sitting in the cubicle right across from me. So we spend within our programs a lot of time just really encouraging women to find that inner strength and find that confidence. And yes, it's scary. It's incredibly scary. But once you start making that decision to really speak up and ask for what you want, it becomes much easier. And it just becomes something that becomes part of who you are and how you operate.
Yeah, I completely agree. So how does somebody, so say you have a woman out there, or perhaps a minority who might be in a similar situation, who thinks it seems insurmountable to ask for a raise, how do you A, ask for a raise, and then B, how do you go about negotiating it?
Right. Well, one of the things that we talk about, and this is obviously something that is practiced, just like anything else in business, anything else in life, you have to practice. So negotiating is not, doesn't fall outside of that scenario. One of the things within our program is we have a 10-day empowerment plan. And in that plan, we say, okay, do one thing each day that scares you. That's a famous quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. And we encourage our participants to do one thing each day. So it could be something simple, like taking an improv class or asking someone out to lunch, a coworker perhaps, but just starting to get into the rhythm of, okay, I'm going to ask for this. I'm going to put myself out there, and I'm going to make myself a bit uncomfortable in order to take a step forward. So we encourage women to start doing that. But in terms of getting ready to negotiate and ask for a salary increase, it's a process. So the first step we always, we start with just doing our research. So really understanding how much others are making. What is the market with look like for someone with your skill set? And so much of this is available online. So unlike 10, 15, 20 years ago, where everything was shrouded in secrecy, there's so many resources available online. And I think people are a lot more open now to sharing, you know, their salary information. So we always say that's first and foremost where you need to start. And then you take a look at where you are and what you could leverage. So there was a woman that went through one of our training programs. She had worked in the entertainment industry for 20 plus years. And this woman worked at, she's at the top of her game. So she worked on movies such as Star Trek and Star Wars, and I mean, just the list goes on. And she worked with a really high profile director. And so she had all of the makings of getting an incredible increase in her pay, but she didn't have the confidence to ask for it, number one. Number two, she just didn't know how to go about it. But we took a look at her situation, analyzed where her strengths were, where her opportunities were, and said, okay, these are the things that you're going to leverage. So she was able to solicit the help of that director, and she was able to solicit the support of others that were in that decision-making process and really be able to get what she thought she had deserved. So that leverage component and just really identifying where your strengths are and really leveraging what why you think you deserve that increase. That's a whole step two. And then finally, you make the ask. So you have those what can be a difficult conversation, can be scary conversations, but you ask for what you're looking for. And then obviously from there's some back and forth and give and take, but that's all part of the process. But you really need to have a really solid game plan from A to Z And the worst thing that you can do is just feel like, okay, I can wing it. Or just even worse than that would be, okay, I don't know how to do this, so I'm going to stick with my current salary. I'm not going to ask. The other thing that we see a lot of is that, especially within the workplace, women feel like, oh, they'll see how hard a job how hard I'm working and I'm making progress, and somebody will notice my efforts. And fortunately, that's just not the case. Sometimes they notice, but sometimes they're not willing to say, yes, we're going to pay you more in appreciation. So you again, just another situation where it's up to that individual to ask and have a solid game plan to figure out how you're going to get from A to Z, what your goals are, and chart out what that looks like.
Yeah, I think an important piece of the puzzle that I'm sure you probably touch on in your workshops is the worthiness component for people who maybe have never made over a certain amount, or they've plateaued and are terribly afraid, to your point, to ask for that raise, no matter what gender, race, background they might come from. Asking for what you want can be terrifying for a lot of people. And I think Right. A big component of that is feeling like, I'm not worth $100,000, I'm not worth $200,000 or $80,000 or whatever that uncomfortable number is for you. So one Right. of my teachers years ago taught me, it's all about expanding your capacity and ability to receive and hold that amount of money, because it's kind of like you look at a lottery winner. What happens when somebody wins the lottery or somebody gets a large sum of money? Many times that large sum of money will make their life seemingly great in the short term, but in the long term, it'll cause chaos and frustration and upset because they don't have the capacity to be able to receive or feel that they're worth it. And I think the same is true for a lot of job seekers, of why you see one person, be them a male or a female, who's making $200,000 and somebody else who's doing the exact same job making $100,000 a year. I think a lot of that has to do with worthiness coupled with their ability or inability to ask for that raise.
Right. Well, most definitely. It's all tied back to our sense of self-worth and that confidence. And again, that's where we really preach taking those small baby steps and identifying, okay, where can I start making a difference? Where can I start headed down the path that will lead me to where I you know, eventually want to go? And through that process, through that development process, we see women who, it's just like night and day how their confidence shifts. The woman that I mentioned earlier, there was a really significant change of how she spoke about her work on her next project, because she had gotten like a 51% increase on her pay. And just by her getting that type of increase, everything shifted. Like, she saw herself differently, professionally and personally. So just it's really can be transformational, just being able to make that transition and looking bigger and seeing a bigger picture and capturing your self-worth.
Yeah, and I think a great little exercise, to your point, there are three steps, as you mentioned, and one of those steps is to actually understand market value. So there are great websites out there like Glassdoor or Salary.com, or as you mentioned, right. This is a popular trend with a lot of millennials that I've heard many people speaking about in office settings, is that millennials, more so than many other generations, are very likely to talk amongst one another about what their compensation is, and it's widely acceptable, where for generations X or baby boomers, that was a taboo thing to do. So I think
very taboo, right?
Yeah, so I think all of that information is absolutely out there. And if your first little baby step could be, are you being paid market? Who knows? You might be somebody who's being paid market, but you'll never know unless you ask or put your feelers out there and start to find out.
Right. Yes, most definitely. And that's, I think it's great that millennials are taking those steps and having those conversations, because I think that's probably what was needed to start leveling out the playing field, you know, whether it's from a gender or, racial vantage point, just being able to understand what, you know, who's getting paid what and what type of experience and so forth. And obviously we always promote the fact that will you be ready? So when those opportunities arise, will you be ready? So are your leadership skills up to date? Are your communication skills up to date? We really, because it's great to think, yeah, I'm going to make this amount of money, but make sure that you are prepared and you're ready to seamlessly get promoted into those roles.
Yeah, and there was also, it's funny, your point earlier about sometimes people who, you know, kind of are going up to the top, or men are seen sometimes differently as women in the workplace, where they might be more single focused on achieving a goal for whatever reason. And there's another weekly podcast that I listen to that I love called Weekly Energy Boost. And they were talking about it on today's show about how individuals who are highly successful, be it males or females, can sometimes come across to others in the office as distant because of the fact that they're not really engaged in other people's business, which from a success standpoint, I think that's, it's kind of an evolutionary thing. You know, if you look at the way we evolved as human beings, millions of years ago, we were hunters and gatherers, and, you know, maybe the women had to take care of the fire and, or, you know, tend to the kids or whatever it was. And during that time, we needed to communicate amongst each other and have that sense of camaraderie to feel safe, where the men were more kind of lone rangers out there hunting, you know, bringing home the kill, and then went back out to do it again. And they would kind of come together to collaborate on a particular hunt and then would leave. Well, if you look at that in the business world today, it's kind of analogous, because you see a lot of women who get really into each other's business in a good and a bad way. It can hurt one another in some ways. So you see women in business who can kind of gossip as well as men can. And that can kind of detract from, okay, what do I need to do to be a leader in this organization? As opposed to somebody who is single focused on how can I do the best job possible today and not worry to the same extent about what other people are up to. Now, the reverse can be said, because there's something great to be said about men and women, or men and women, or women collaborating together. But I think that the more we become enmeshed in other people's business and worrying what everybody else around us is doing, it's kind of this catch-22, because on the one hand, does it matter what other people make? Yes, if you're doing the same job and getting paid significantly less. But on the other hand, you don't want that to become your obsession and then have that deter you from your full potential. Sometimes you have to change jobs for that reason if you do everything with you can within an organization and still wind up having to leave, because all the great work that you taught somebody, negotiating, standing up for yourself, having the right information, just isn't enough to push you over that mark.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. And to your point, it's a very fine line, right? And it's not easy. I mean, there's, you do want to have that, I don't know if it's the social aspect, but just being engaged with others in your workplace, but also, you know, you're there to do a job. So it's definitely something that I know we tell our students to be mindful of how we're engaging with others in the workplace. But we also have to, most of our students are very much motivated to get to the upper level within an organization or within their own business. So leadership plays a huge component in our program. So it's, you're absolutely right. It's a fine line, but I do think that you can find that and still be engaged and approachable by others in the workplace, but also assume a position or a persona of being a leader.
Yeah, there's something I came across recently that it sparked for me. It's something I include in a talk I do on empowerment for women and for men. And it's something that I think no matter who you're trying to be in a workplace, if you're trying to be a leader and be your highest and best self, I love this quote. It's not a quote, it's more of a rule. Have you ever heard of the four Sufi gates to pass something through before you speak?
No, I haven't heard that one.
It's really cool. It's an old Sufi tradition, and it advises us to speak only after our words have managed to pass through four gates. And at the first gate, we ask ourselves, are these words true? And if so, we let them pass on. If not, they go back. At the second gate, we ask, are they necessary? At the third gate, we ask, are they beneficial? And at the final gate, you ask, are they kind? And if the answer to any one of those is no, then what you're about to say should be left unsaid. And I think people who are leaders and successful in business really emulate this better, regardless of gender, race, position. If you can just really be thoughtful about the words you speak and whether or not they need to be said, people will eventually respect you and trust you. I think it was Amy Cuddy did a TED Talk recently that said, you know, people are evaluating two things when they meet you. Are you trustworthy and are you intelligent or capable, I think is what it was. And most people would think capable is more important than trustworthy, when in reality, if I can't trust you, I don't care if you're capable or not. So it's that tying back in that piece of the social aspect.
Right. Well, and I think that goes to mindfulness too. And that's, I think, becoming more and more popular. An interesting way of integrating mindfulness in how we lead, which makes for a much kinder workplace. So I'm all for that, for all of us integrating a much more mindful approach to our interactions, whether it's internally with others in your workplace or even with the consumer, because things are done from a much more intentional vantage point. So I do love that that approach. You said it's a Sufi.
So it's called the Four Sufi Gates. And Sufi is spelled S-U-F-I. And if you Google search for Sufi Gates, it'll pull up. And essentially, you just want to ask yourself, and Don Miguel Ruiz addresses something similar in his book, which I adore, called The Four Agreements, where he talks about being impeccable with your word. In fact, can I share with you a fun story that somebody once shared with me on the subject?
Yeah, please do.
So it was so amazing. I still remember the day the person told me the story. He said to me, it was actually my old parking guy, Juan, and he was amazing. I swear he was like the Sadiq or genius, because sometimes I would be racing into my office and Juan would say, mi amiga, I have a story for you. And no matter how busy I had or was, or whatever meetings I had on my calendar, I would stop because I knew whatever Juan was about to say was going to be worth 10 times more than any meeting I could step into. And so Juan, I'm no kidding, I love Juan, I adore him. But he said to me one day, he said, mi amiga, I have a story for you. And he said, there once was a man who was had his enemy in business, and he spoke ill of him to everybody. He said, he is a terrible man. He is not trustworthy. He is awful. And he went around this whole city spreading words or rumors that this guy was terrible. And he said, well, I know firsthand this guy is a terrible person. And so a few years pass by, and then one day the man hears that this man he had spoken ill about lost his job, lost his wife, and is now homeless and has nowhere to go, no home. And the guy was like, gosh, you know, I feel kind of guilty about having said all those bad things about him. My life's kind of good right now. So he seeks out the wisest person in the city. And he says, you know, please, wise man, you have to help me. I spoke ill of this man several years ago. He's now lost his wife, lost his home, lost his job. And I just wish there was some way I could turn back time and go back and to make things different. And the man said, okay. He said, I have a solution for you. He said, I want you to go and I want you to take a pillowcase filled with feathers and find the highest point in the city. And when you get to the highest point in the city, I want you to release the feathers over the city and then come back to me. And the man says, oh, thank you so much, wise man. This is the wise master. This is exactly what I needed. So he's very proud of himself. And he goes to the highest point in the city and he releases these feathers all over the city. And he comes back to the wise man and he says, oh, you are so wise, master. You are absolutely right. I feel so much better. And the wise man said, no, you are not done. That was only the first part. You see, those feathers are like words. And those words cannot be picked up. So I want you to go back now and I want you to collect every feather that fell upon the city and put them back into your pillowcase. And the man said,
oh, wow.
But I could never do that. And that's the point with our words. It's like, you just never know. Somebody you might think you know something about, but you don't know firsthand, and you spread evil speech about that person. You never know. And you can never go back and collect all those feathers that have fallen upon the world and know the impact they might have had.
Wow. That's a great story. Great lesson. and how incredibly true, right? When you put it in those, that perspective, I think quite often we, and again, just going back to not being mindful with our words, and really taking a look at how much of an impact those words have on others and on ourselves too.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing. I think that in business, whether we're women, men, no matter what race, background, creed, color we come from, I think if we can just treat one another with human dignity and respect, and most importantly, treat ourselves with human dignity and respect, because if we don't treat ourselves that way, we can't ask anybody else to.
Well, and that's exactly, you beat me to it, Jennifer, because that's exactly what I was going to share, because having that internal dialogue within our mind, how are we talking to ourselves? What are we telling ourselves? Makes a huge, huge difference on our day-to-day outlook on life and the day-to-day outlook on our lives in general over the course of our just existence here on Earth. So, again, that's one of the areas that when I started Elevate for Her, I really wanted to see how I can help other women just feel stronger and feel better about who they are and stop all the negative chatter that tells us, we're not good enough, we're not skinny enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not smart enough, and saying, okay, this is who I am, and I'm going to accept me, and I'm going to work to improve myself. But it starts all within our minds and how we treat ourselves. It sounds trite, but it's so incredibly true, because you see the happiest people, and not always is the happiest person the one that's the most successful and then the C-suites, but the person that wakes up each and every day, can look themselves in the mirror, goes off to work, and puts in an honest day of work. And those are people that have just that intentional way of speaking to themselves and being good to themselves.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I love the work you're doing. I think it's so important, for men, for women, just to own our worth and to carry it out into the world and to realize that we're capable of more greatness than we could ever possibly imagine, no matter where we come from. And years ago, there was a great speaker that I heard who kind of took a $100 bill and he said, how much is this $100 bill worth? And it's like crisp and brand new, fresh off the press. And everybody in the audience said, $100. And he said, great. So he kind of crumples the $100 bill and crushes it up. And then he holds the crumpled dollar bill in his hand. He said, how much is this worth? Everybody yells back, $100. Then he takes that $100 bill, puts it under his shoe and like just smashes it into the ground and says, how much is this $100 bill worth? And of course, everybody concurs, $100. And he said, great. I want you to know that's you. You are that $100 bill. And no matter who crushes you, who smashes you, who steps on you, you still get to own your value. And I think that's just such an important lesson for all of us.
Yeah, that's another great one. What a great illustration, right? Because there's that's so incredibly true, because that's just part of life, right? And just as you said earlier, you could be working for an employer and maybe it's just not any longer, maybe you feel like you deserve and you've earned. And you might feel a little beat up and so forth, but you need to take your talent somewhere else. And, again, just own your value and your worth and your voice.
So true. Well, Rhonda, are there any takeaways or anything you and I didn't cover today that you'd love our listeners to walk away from today's show with?
Well, I think at the end of the day, again, and I, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, our big mantra within our organization is, you know, own your voice, claim your value. And again, it's something that you have to work on each and every day. But as you do, you just become much more confident and you get to be much more in tune with who you are and your empowerment and your self-confidence. And that's why we put together what we call our 10-day empowerment plan, and would love to share that with your listeners on a complimentary basis. We can.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So tell them how. That's fantastic. I would love to offer that to anybody tuning in.
Yeah, it's a 10-day plan. It's got some great imagery, great quotes, some really inspirational women, everyone from Michelle Obama. Got one of my favorites, Billie Jean King. There's many women that from many walks of life that we included just to have that daily inspiration, because I think that just being able to find others that inspire you is a huge component too, and helping you find your way and your voice.
I love that. So tell our listeners, where would they find information about your program? How would they access that or access that?
Yeah, it's you can visit our website, which is www.elevateforher. And it's for F-O-R, so it's Alpha, elevateforher.com. And you can download the 10-day empowerment booklet from there. And you can complete it online. You can print out a hard copy. But yeah, we'd love your listeners to take advantage of it and hopefully get some inspiration along the way.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. It's just been such a delightful conversation, and I think a worthy one that we all get to have around the globe about our own self-worth, no matter where we come from, is owning our worth and realizing that we do have value, to your point.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you, Jennifer. I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I've learned a couple things too, so thank you.
Yeah, that's what I love most about this show, is it's just such a wonderful opportunity to share thoughts and ideas and to learn from one another, because that's what it's all about. So thank you, of course, to Rhonda, and thank you to our listeners, who without you, this show would not be possible. So thank you for tuning in today. And if you missed any portion of this show, or if you want to go back and listen to parts of it again, you can find it later in the week on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. Or on the latalkradio.com webpage, if you go to Channel 1, you'll find Get Yourself the Job. And if you go to the bottom of that page, you'll find an archive of not only today's show, but all prior shows that we've done. And you can download, listen at your leisure, or you can also find us on Facebook under Get Yourself the Job on Facebook. I'm often sharing articles and other press releases that don't make it to the show on there. So we invite you, please leave us any comments, feedbacks, rate us. Any feedback that you have is only going to help the show get better. So thank you so much to everybody who tuned in today. And thanks again, Rhonda, for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.